I have learned over the years that this time of year, December to January time of year, I get very introspective. You know, one year is closing, another year is opening. Maybe you do the same type of thing as well. You know, I always look backwards before I begin to look ahead. And that's exactly what I did after Christmas. Cyril and I went to Hilton Head Island in South Carolina, and I just thought about all the things that had been going on, all the things that had gone before. And then I sat with long thoughts in our time there, time away, about what God is up to right now in my life, in my family, in this church, in our culture, in the world, all that. But even as I do that, and as I do that all the time, I also remember that that introspection and that those plans that follow that introspection are not some type of self-generated grace. That renewal is the territory of God. That belongs to God alone. The transformation is not mine to produce. That is the work of God. And yet that introspection, that's not nothing. There is a place for responding, and there's a place for listening, and there's a place for stepping forward and for plans and for actions that follow the grace of God. I love our own theological tradition because we say things like that this way. We say this: God is the primary actor, we are secondary. God always acts first, and then we respond, not to earn the grace of God, but because the grace of God has already found us. Now that tension, I tell you that to say that tension between God's sovereign initiative and our meaningful response sits at the heart of our scriptures today. And in the first of the scriptures, we're going to see that God's new work is never bound to the past. It honors the past, but it's not bound to the past. And so, one of my go-to scriptures, I bet you have some of these things, these favorite passages, things that you come back to again and again and again. For some people, it's like a John 3:16. Some people, it's like a Psalm 23. But this is one of my go-to passages that I think about often because it's talking about God doing new things in the middle of difficult things. God is always doing new things. It's from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, who speaks to a people who know how to look backwards because he's talking to Israel. Israel is in exile. They're in exile in the nation of Babylon. Babylon is not their home. They were captives in Babylon. They were facing judgment for their own sin, and yet they were struggling. Of course they were struggling. They were struggling. In that moment, their future felt uncertain. The present felt kind of dislocated from their past. And so the past for them has become their primary source of hope. And through Isaiah, the Lord reminded them of that central narrative of their past, of the saving act, of the story of the one who made a way through the sea, of the one who brought the chariots and the horses to nothing, which is the great Exodus event told in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, where God delivers hundreds and thousands of slaves, the Israelite slaves, out of Egypt and into freedom. Well, in Babylon, they remember that story. It hits them a lot more personally, that story of God delivering their own ancestors out of slavery and into freedom. You can understand why they're in that very setting. But then in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, to these people who are struggling and are remembering that past, God says basically, forget all of that. Here's what he says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So this was not a call for them to forget God's faithfulness of the past or to abandon scripture altogether. They're not being asked to abandon memory. They're not being asked to abandon scripture or to abandon their covenant history. Rather, God is warning them against limiting him to only what he had done before. The Exodus was real. The Exodus was decisive. The Exodus was saving. But it was not the last word the Lord has on helping his people. There's more to be done. The same God who redeemed them in the past is free to redeem in all kinds of new ways in the present. And so God says, I am making a way in the wilderness. I am making streams in the wasteland. I am doing something new right now. which is really interesting to me because you notice that God does not remove the wilderness. What he says is, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. And he doesn't eliminate the wasteland. He brings life into the wasteland, which is to say that removing struggles, their present struggles, was not Israel's work. They were not digging canals or building roads. This is all about saying God is taking initiative here. This is about God's initiative and how they were called to see it, to perceive it. And so God asked them, do you not see what I'm doing? Do you not perceive the new thing that I'm doing in your midst right now? So faith here in that story is attentiveness. It is paying attention. It is learning to recognize what God is already doing in the moment, which raises a great question for you and me. What is God doing in your life right now? I mean, we've got to apply the same language here. God is doing a new thing. The question is, do you not perceive it? Can you see what God is doing right now in your life? Can you look at a part of your life and say, so there it is. That is an act of God. I know that that is an act of God at work in my life. And so part of this message today is just making sure our eyes are being trained to see God at work in our lives in that moment. So this is Isaiah. Yeah, I'm doing a new thing. Do you see it? Well, this idea of doing a new thing was picked up on centuries later with the early church leader Paul. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul wrote to the church in the city of Corinth about how God was making, he was doing a new thing, all right. God was making a new creation. This was God taking this, the idea of doing new things, to a whole new level. And this is also God not introducing some type of self-improvement plan. Paul reframes the new work of God through Jesus Christ when he says these great words. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And I have to tell you, when I read language like that, you're in Christ, the new's come, the old is gone, the new is here, that language, that challenges my sort of natural tendency of this end of the year introspection and goal setting. Because that is not the language of resolutions. That is not the language of self-discipline and goal setting and moral reboots. Paul does not say, if anyone tries harder. He does not say, if anyone commits to change. He says, if anyone is in Christ. That phrase, it does the heavy lifting there. In Christ. To be in Christ is not merely to admire Christ. It's not merely to follow his teachings. It's not merely to agree with his ethics. It is to be united with him. It is to be joined with him in his death and raised with him in his resurrection. To be brought into his life. Anyone is in Christ, Paul says. Anyone is in Christ, Paul says. And they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has begun. That phrase is, again, is doing the heavy lifting. It is saying we are joined with him. We are brought into his life. And from that union flows something incredible. From that union with Christ flows not just a changed attitude and not just a cleaned up past, but comes a whole new person. That's what he says, a whole new creation. That's what Paul calls you and me who are in Christ. We are a new creation. That is, you should hear some very deliberate language in that, because that has overtones of the whole Genesis creation language. And that has Isaiah new things type of language. That has Revelation into times, eschatology, all things made new language, all of which tells us that Christian renewal is not about renovation. It's about resurrection. New life. This is where the gospel sort of gently confronts the habits of many people in January. Discipline and planning and goal setting, they're not wrong. I do it myself. I do it all the time. I think and I see the good that they do. They can modify behavior. They can redirect habits. They can cause some positive outcomes to happen. But there are a lot of things they cannot do, some core and essential things they cannot do. Those things cannot create new life. They cannot deal with the old self. They cannot crucify sin. They cannot raise the dead. Only union with Christ can do that. That's why I love being a Presbyterian Christian. Our own theological, Reformed theological tradition has always insisted on this certain ordering of things, that justification comes before sanctification, that grace comes before growth comes, that gifts comes before effort comes. We do not work our way into being new creation. We work from that. We do not act in order to become new. We act because in Christ we already are new. And this protects us. This guards us from two errors. And the first error is it guards us from thinking it's all about self-salvation. It guards us from believing that the future of our spiritual lives rests primarily on our resolve. And that's terrible, because it doesn't rest on our resolve. Because if it did, it would either lead to pride if we felt like we were doing it all and we were doing it great, or despair if we felt like we were not doing it well at all. So it's not about that. It protects us from self-salvation. But second, it also guards us from passivity. Grace does not eliminate action. It creates the conditions for faithful action. God acts first. We said that. God gives new life. God initiates transformation. And then, wonderfully and mysteriously and beautifully, he invites us to walk in it, to take action. The wilderness way that in the streams in the desert, we walk in it. The ones that God creates, we walk in that. The new creation that God declares, we live into it. The renewal that God begins, we participate in it, not as the authors, not as the creators of it, but as the responders to it. So today, as we walk through this threshold of a new year, the question is not, what will I make of myself this year? Tempting as that question may be, the better question is, what is God making new? What new thing is God doing right now in my life, all around me? And how am I being invited to trust him there? Where is he already doing that work? He's already at work. What old identity is he asking you or me to loosen our grip on? And what new life is he calling us into being? Not by your strength, not by my strength, but by the Spirit's strength. True renewal. True renewal does not come from trying harder. It will come from resting deeper, resting in Christ, abiding in Christ, receiving again what he delights to give. Because if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone's in Christ, not self-made, not self-driven, not self-sustained, if anyone is in Christ, the new has already begun. Isaiah says it this way, "See, I am doing a new thing." Paul says, the new is here. The gospel says, the gospel assures us that God is not finished, not with his people, not with his church, not with you. And the good news is this, that the God who makes all things new does not ask you to create a thing. He asks you to trust him and to follow him. He asks you to live as one who has already been made new in Christ. So having said all that, set your goals. Do it. Just go ahead and say, I'm doing that. Make your resolutions. Think about where you've been. Look ahead to where you feel like God is leading you. But at some point, hit the pause button. And doing all that, hit the pause button and say, I want to remember this. I am a new creation in Christ right now. And God is already doing new things in and around me right now. Let me rest in that. Let me perceive that. Let me perceive that God is at work in my life. And then, knowing that that is true, let me lean into this year with faith, with hope, and with love. And when you and I do that, you will step into God's streams in the wilderness. You will walk in the way that God is making, and you will live as one who has already been made new in Christ. God has done a new thing in and around you. God is doing a new thing now. The question is, can you see it? Will you see it? Let's pray together. God, thank you for the new things that you are doing in our lives. Open our eyes to see your streams in the wilderness and help us to walk the way you are making, to live as new creations in Christ, trusting your Spirit to guide each step. Amen. Can you hear that? I don't know if you can hear that, Brian, but somebody is losing their little one-year-old mind over in the other room. They're having a little meltdown.